au.
Well, there's certainly been quite a bit of talk over quite a few years about what we're going to do about the Karanda Range. Obviously, those routes further west and, of course, further north, a bit of a challenge just because of the way those big mountains, which we just love, to the west of Cairns, but they do present a challenge. And, of course, with World Heritage Areas, when it comes to cutting new roads through the rainforest, that's obviously got some issues as well. One of the key things, particularly for further north, for Cape York and quite a few of the communities there, is the reliance on shipping. And in a lot of ways, for some of the economies that are likely to start to spring up in some of those smaller communities in time, actually having a shipping, solid shipping channels is often, I think, a better way than actually having the roads with trucks actually, doing the transporting from those more remote regions. That's exactly the reason why I believe she's here in town to actually do a bit of an announcement and actually look at some of the options when it comes to some of those transport links. She's the Member for Ballarat and Shadow Minister for Infrastructure, Transport and Regional Development. She joins me this morning. Good morning, Catherine King. Welcome to Cairns. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thanks, Murray. It's lovely to be back here, although a little wet.
Well, it's certainly probably a little wetter than Ballarat today, but it's going to be at least a little bit warmer. There's a bonus for you.
That it will be, I'm sure, today.
Now, look, as I just said in my preamble as well, often actually having those links by sea are probably more important for quite a few of those communities, particularly up there through Cape York, Catherine.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I'm visiting the Torres Strait today with Elida, our candidate for Leichhardt, who's just a fabulous human being. So she's been up there a few times before, but she's been at pains to talk to me about the importance that, access via shipping, jetties, being able to actually get into the Torres Strait. And it's the sort of thing that communities everywhere take for granted, being able to get your groceries in or being able to get decent water supplies, being able to get medical supplies in or access to doctor's appointments. We mostly hop in our cars if we have got those services available locally and are able to drive that, or we can get on public transport if it's available. But in the Torres Strait, really, it does require better infrastructure there. So today we'll be announcing that a future Albanese government will commit $40 million in partnership with the Torres Strait Islander Regional Council to actually improve access through the Torres Strait. It's a $40 million package to go over in our budget in those first 3 years. I know there's probably a lot more to be done, but $40 million is a huge commitment to actually trying to fix some of these issues. And that includes dredging on the marine access channel so that barges can continue to get through, some pocket dredging to facilitate barge access, and also some urgent jetty repairs, as well as new jetty structures in some of the communities that have no jetties currently at all.
I've actually only been up to the Torres Strait once many years ago. I think I was only there for about 4 hours for a court case as a lawyer and disappeared again. But one of the things that really surprised me just driving through town there in Thursday Island was seeing that, obviously most houses have a garage, but in the garage there wasn't a car. There tended to be a tinny. Now, I guess that underpins the reliance on the sea for transport. But look, I guess what I'm keen to maybe focus on a little bit more, and particularly in your role as Shadow Minister for Regional Development, not only are we talking about actually getting some of the daily needs into some of these more remote communities, when they start to get more and more industries actually thriving in their local areas, getting that produce back out again, often by sea, is a far better option than taking it out by road.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, the role of infrastructure, it's not really just a road or a jetty. It really is enabling. It's about how you increase the productivity of local economies, how you provide equity of access, of opportunities for work, for businesses. Really, that's how I see infrastructure. So this is really investing in those communities' future to say, well, with the produce you are producing there, with the businesses that are there, that connectivity that we all take for granted, certainly down south, we take it well and truly for granted. These communities, it's providing that sort of equivalence as best we possibly can, and that's what the $40 million that Elida and I are talking about today is going to go towards.
Excellent tender. I think certainly the benefits that then flow into Cairns, because obviously for quite a bit of that shipping that goes through some of those smaller communities or even all the way through to around to the Gulf, they actually use Cairns as the home port. So, you know, there's some real advantages there for us as well. If we can just touch on something else before we wrap up this morning, there's obviously been quite a bit of talk in the last 24 hours or so because the election has by default started the campaigning. Talking about electric vehicles, and, you know, there's obviously a real need for electric vehicles right across the country, and I think the cost of fuel in recent times has really, really brought that sharply into focus. I should imagine that even though there are some commitments from the Queensland government to get more of those electric vehicle recharging stations right across the state, I should imagine there are going to be some ongoing challenges further north from Cairns with respect to actually getting electric vehicles into that part of the world.
Well, look, the first thing is, you know, at the moment, electric vehicles and, you know, the range that we have in here in Australia is pretty narrow. We're really quite a few years behind where other countries are. And if you remember last election campaign, we had the Prime Minister saying that, you know, our EV policy would end the weekend, and, you know, really poo-pooing and electric vehicles entirely. So really, we haven't had a lot of thought given to that during the years of this government that's on its eighth or ninth year. So really, the first thing we've done is we announced we want to try and make electric vehicles more affordable for people. So there's some tax concessions that Chris Bowen has announced. We've also announced as part of our sort of infrastructure package is that what we want to try and do is where we are building in infrastructure and large-scale infrastructure, we want to try and start to build in where we can incentives to allow current service centres to put electric charging stations in. But obviously there are some challenges, and obviously challenges in the Torres Strait to do something like that is really very difficult. But in other parts of the country as well, it's trying to build that in. As we're building existing infrastructure, we're putting those investments in, actually trying to roll and put those services in place so that we're not trying to retrofit. We're not at that tipping point yet where electric vehicles are, you know, are cheaper than fuel vehicles, although with the fuel price going up, which has been for quite some time, yes, may well be a tipping point for many. But I also think, you know, a lot of the new vehicles that you're seeing, you know, particularly in the US, these, you know, massive utes that have very high towing capacity and have very long distances that they can travel, I think they, you know, will be attractive to people, but really they're just incredibly expensive at the moment. And I think really trying to get that price down as well as build the infrastructure. So when we're investing money in the Bruce Highway, for example, you know, you'd really want to make sure that while you're doing that, you're actually trying to build in electric charging stations at the same time and working with councils as to how you might do that. So we've certainly committed to doing that rather than, you know, a blanket policy to say we'll put one here, here, here or here. I think we should be building it in every time we build infrastructure and we're, you know, ripping the tarmac out up. We should be actually looking at what the opportunities are for that then.
I mean, if you cast your mind back 100 years or so, back to the beginning of last century, Henry Ford had...
I wasn't around then, surprisingly, Murray. I'm old, but I'm not quite that old.
I would never suggest that.
But, no.
But Henry Ford had similar challenges. I mean, you think about the road networks, the fuel networks, to be able to get them out to vehicles right across the state.
The hometown I have, you know, I come from, obviously, massive gold, you know, Ballarat gold rush. You know, some of the laneways were just, you know, they weren't designed. They're too small to get a car down, so still have these little narrow pockets and, you know, blue, you know, cobblestones that were everywhere that really weren't suitable for cars. So there was a big fight about that, and I guess, you know, electric vehicles all have, you know, we're slowly starting to see the uptake of them, but, you know, really we're a bit behind where everyone else is, and I think that's largely because we've had a Prime Minister who's been a bit of a dinosaur on these issues.
Well, look, have a wonderful time in Torres Strait. Thank you so much for your time this morning. The very young, I will add, Catherine King, she's the Shadow Minister for Infrastructure, Transport and Regional Development. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Lovely to be with you again, Murray. Bye-bye.